We're live and direct. This is Saturday evening, and we're moving right along in the month. This is already September the 4th, and like I say, we're live. Call up a friend and tell them that we're on live tonight. We are being uplifted to satellite. We're going around the world and connecting into internet radio from our flagship station, 100.3 FM. So we're glad to have you aboard. Now get your Bibles. Tonight we're going to begin a new series in search of a missing birthright. And you say, well, Pastor Buddy, I didn't know the birthright was missing. Well, generally speaking, nobody ever speaks about the birthright. Have you ever heard anybody teach on the birthright? Very, very, very few teach the divine covenant principles of truth about the birthright. The birthright is the most important thing that we can lay claim to. Without a birthright, ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to go anywhere. If you're not born by water and spirit, as it says in John 3:5, you just might as well put your trip off, because it would be a waste of your time to even think about going. And let me give you some in-depth revelation. Unless your name's on the Lamb's book from the foundation of the world, you need to bother and go. And you say, well, Pastor Buddy, if that's true, then that's selective racial covenant. Well, that's what we're talking about the birthright for. The birthright is two for and about one people, one family. And this family consists of 12 sons who have offspring to enter into the kingdom or to obtain the birthright. Remember now, only one son who is to receive a double portion and special favor from Almighty Yahweh. We're going to talk about that tonight. And we're going to talk about some of the curses and blessings that has been handed down. We're going to go to our text that we did not bring in our serpent series of the 4 hours that we did on the serpent series. We didn't even get to the text. That's how in-depth and extensive that this hidden mystery, very few that understand why that Satan has tried to defy the covenant purposes of Yahweh and to defile the bloodline of those who were in line to get the birthright. And we started in Genesis 3:15 to show you that Satan polluted the woman's womb. By doing that, she became a victim of the subtle wisdom, craftiness, enchantment, if you will, of the serpent, who was not a snake, a wriggling, wiggling, crawling reptile. This is just depicting his nature. He was a beautiful angel that dwelled in the garden of God. Now, it's amazing how crafty this serpent is. Did you know that that same serpent, here he is in Isaiah 14, how by falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Now, the word Lucifer is an Achaean. The word Lucifer means phosphorus or light emitting being. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible doesn't, this is a wrong name for Satan. he'd been better off to being called the Dark One. Because that's who he is. He's not light. He's transformed into light, but he's actually darkness. Now, I don't know how that happens, except he has marvelous, magical, deceptive powers. Very convincing. How about falling from heaven, oh, Lucifer, Strong's number 1966, if you look that up, you'll find what that word means. You see, everybody refers to Satan as a blind morning star. He's not. He's an imitator. He's not bright at all. Matter of fact, he is downright stupid. And he don't show any light whatsoever. He's full of darkness, and the people that love him love darkness. They don't love light. If they loved the light, they would come to the Messiah, Yahushua, because that's who the light is. He's the bright in the morning star. He's that master star that shines in the north. It's the only fixed position star in the universe that you can navigate off of. All others are transfixed. In other words, they transport themselves through the constellations. And the star and the band that move through these are called constellations. And there happen to be 12 of them with the 12 tribes. Well, in Revelation 21, with the names of the 12 tribes, there's gates. These are the eternal gates for the house of Israel. And two for one about only the house of Israel. Now, when Satan was cast out of heaven in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and Michael and his angels prevailed against Satan and his angels, and Satan and his angels were cast out. Now the question is, where'd they go to? Well, that's a $64 question. There was actually a fine sentence leveled upon Satan before he could come to the earth. He was cast out into the deep. That means somewhere out in space, there is a planet or a habitation for Satan and his angels. They live on this planet. And they're there until the angel, this will be the great angel Michael, who has the power to overpower Satan and his angels and keep them bound for a specific amount of time. Then that angel is going to come and he's going to cut the restraining chain. It describes a chain. Satan was bound with his chain and then he was loosed. After he was loosed, after a specific amount of time, and we got into that in our series of the serpent in a thousand-year reign, we talked about that. And so then, after Satan is loosed out of his prison, out of this wayward planet, could be Planet X, that's heading this way, that the government will not reveal to you or tell you about some of the strange phenomenon that's going on in space. Well, you know what Christ said? Look up into the heavens. Begin to look up in those days. He said, you will see signs there. And the Father is not going to leave us in the dark because he's the light. Satan will make you think he's the light, but leave you in the dark. Well, if I said that if you are his from the foundation of the world, your name's John Angela, you know the key to the inner chamber. And I told you that the kingdom was within you. It's not way out there. The way to the inward kingdom is in your own temple where you're sealed. And here's the key to the gate. And that gate is the single eye. The Bible said if the body or the eye be single in the body is full of light. Now think about that. And I'm going to repeat that. If the eye be single. Well, Satan gave us two natural eyes. Remember when Eve ate of the tree, Satan painted a picture before she could really see it. So in her mind, she envisioned things to behold in the third dimension. That's what Satan was really, he forgot to tell her that when she lay with the serpent, that she was going to fall from her steadfastness. she was going to be removed from the fifth dimension. That's the first kingdom dimension inside the dimensions of heaven. She fell from the fifth to the third. She skipped the fourth dimension because that's where Satan fell to. He fell from the fifth dimension to the fourth dimension. And so then there's a gulf fixed between the third dimension where Adam and his sons were kept captive. There's a great gulf between the third and the fifth dimension, which is called the fourth dimension. These are where Satan and his angels dwell to resist, because the Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. So then the gulf that is fixed between the two dimensions, where Satan is bound in the fourth dimension, that's the manifestation of wicked spirits that war against those who would climb up. Remember, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Well, Satan stands there on the other side telling you not to open the door. Now, what door or what avenue of light was he talking about? Well, you see, when we begin to see with the two natural eyes, we begin to have the senses of the five carnal senses of the mind. See, hear, taste, smell, and feel, and touch. And so then, the five senses are a deceptor. The carnal mind, not being subject to Yahweh, is a detour, if you will. Satan actually detoured the advent of man's approach to the heavenly eternal Father Yahweh. He didn't want you to approach him in any manner. And so he stood between you and the Father as the accuser of the brethren. And every time you approach the Father, the prosecuting attorney under the law, Satan himself would stand there and object to your presence, because no sin could enter into the presence of the heavenly kingdom. And so then Satan had us all bound and trapped and locked in prison. And how miserable we were. The Bible says that you can be of all men most miserable if in this third dimension you only have hope. Well, if you have transfixed your mind, it's been transposed into the spirit kingdom, and you've opened up the single eye. That's the inner kingdom route, the gate, if you will, that you must take into the inner kingdom where dwelleth Yahweh and the universe within. And this is the power and the spirit, because in Luke 17:20, it talks about the kingdom of heaven being within you. Everybody's looking outside into the holographic universe. That's an external universe, and Yahweh doesn't dwell there. Mother Nature possesses that, along with the laws of the physical universe. But Yahweh doesn't dwell there. He's not in the thick wind. He's not in the high sky. He's not out there. Where is he? He's in you. The hope of glory. Christ, the word Christ is a misnomer. It means as a Krishna word, taken from the charismatic word, the root word of a charismatic. Charisma, Christ, anointed. That's what it means. So the anointing is within you. Now, if the anointing is within you, you have Christ within you. And you're separated from the carnal mind, because the carnal mind cannot go where you go. You have to leave the carnal mind. That's why that trance of the Yahweh visits only his people, man, Adam, the man that could show blood, a blushing consciousness to be responsible for his sins. You see, some people are natural brute beasts. They don't have any conscience. They can't blush. That is a person that is not qualified to go, because Adam means rosy or red or the ability to blush, and we know that the Messiah had that ability. He's talked about, if you look up the word blush, mentioned quite a few times in the Bible, But if you will look there, and the ruddy complexion of those who had the ability to blush, these were the Aryan folks from Adam. These are the only ones that have a living, viable conscience that has the ability to go into the inner kingdom. When they close the two natural eyes, they open what we describe as the third eye. You see, you really have three eyes. And when we talk about the third eye, we're talking about the first two carnal eyes, those that see, hear, smell, taste, and feel, or the five senses. That has to be closed or shut down. Because, see, that's an illusionary. Satan has formed a god in the five senses. The god of power, the god of love, the god of lust. And you're ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth in that dimension. So then there is a deeper inward dimension within you that you must be translated to as Elijah was translated, as Enoch was translated, and the translation was in the kingdom of heaven as opposed to those things which are in the earth. So the carnal mind, not being subject to the law of Yahweh, and neither indeed could be, we've now been shut out through the carnal mind, access to the inward kingdom of the righteous kingdom, where few men can find. Straight is the way, narrow is the gate. That straight way is between your eyes, the two natural eyes. Those have to be closed or focused only on the interdimensional kingdom within. As long as you look for Yahweh out in the heavens. Now, Yahweh will send signs and wonders in the holographic, that which is an illusionary natural place. He will send the signs there for you to see. But the real sign is within. One, just think about this, one connected thought to the inward kingdom, 1 second, 1 millisecond, and the kingdom is better than 10,000 years of external searching and wondering in Egypt. You see, outside is where Satan wants us to stay. And the inner kingdom, the door was shut. Remember, the flaming sword, that is the light or the heat or the manifestation of the third eye, that eye between the two eyes. And we have a gland there is a call in science, medical science. They really don't know why it's there. And they have often questioned its need to be there. It has no known function according to science. But there is the very gland, a muscle, better known as a muscle, the mind is a muscle, and right below the base of the skull, which man has been unhooked. Now think about this. Man has been unhooked, disconnected, if you will, from his 12 natural senses that would display a spiritual connection back to the Father. Now, when I say this, all but two strands of the 12 connectors to the electrical unit called the brain, the right and left, where we have access to our Father through our mind. It's a spiritual mind that we have access, not the carnal. The carnal mind will never access. You cannot see, hear, smell, taste, or feel God in the carnal sense. He just ain't there. You must put off the old man and put on the new man. There is an inward man and there is an outward man. And these are the differences. And the birthright is locked inside, waiting for you to discover it, waiting for you to acknowledge it, waiting for you to uncover it, or to use it to claim your destiny and your purpose. Because the Bible said we were predestinated and our names was on the Lamb's book from the very foundation, and we've been with him from the very beginning, and he knows his sheep, and his sheep will hear his voice. They're not of this world. They're pilgrims and strangers in a third-dimensional world that they have no cause to be in other than the trial of their faith. And that's why you're here, to prove you, to see if you'll stand. And the Bible said, above all, stand, having your loins girded about with the garments of praise and like. Now, some of the best meetings I've ever been in, there was nothing said. It was silent, dead silent. You know, the loudest speaking words is when everything is still. Did you know in Psalms 46:10, I wrote a song about this, back when I had the flesh man trying to lead me and trying to be the ruler of my mind. I had these spiritual revelations, but the carnal mind would come in and try to hinder my spiritual connection to the Father. And I'd have to pray and fast to kill the outer man so that the inner man could begin to see the steps into the kingdom. And I said last night, it's a fearful thing to fall into that kingdom. Oh, it's terrible. There's thunder and lightning and quakes, lights, vibrations, rushing sounds. It is a fearful thing. If you've never been there, if you have no experience in traveling that, well, all of his sheep have the experience, but it's been purposely blotted out through the fall. And Satan, in the carnal realm of carnality, hid the kingdom. Now, I told you that there were 10 unconnected strands. Well, there just happens to be. Remember, there's a remnant. That remnant is connecting to the spirit mind. If Yahweh hadn't left us a remnant of faithful people who had the knowledge and the connection and the truth, we would all been, as Sodom and Gomorrah, lost and forever separated from the eternal love of our Creator. But he left just enough connected to the root system of our spirit mind. There is 2 strands still worn in. That is the male and female aspect. When embraced together, they become one. And in this spark and this merging of perfect love, cast out fear, and we have no fear, and we enter in boldly to the throne of grace that we might receive help in a time of need. And that help is for the weary, the downtrodden, the cast out, and the forsaken. And for those who deem themselves unworthily, adverb modifying the action to the presence of the Father, that he, as being perfect, made perfect through his death, appeared in the presence of Almighty, the Eternal One, Yah, for you, that he might make ever intercession for you, that you could enter in boldly into the throne of grace to find the secret hidden pathway, and to fellowship and have communion with him forever. You see, the Bible said that he thought it not robbery to be equal with it. But see, Satan comes to steal the birthright. He stole it with Eve. He got the first son. Now, the first son is designated as having the aspects and the promises of the birthright. Now, if he had a promise, this is the first son, then Cain had a promise to the birthright. But remember, at this time, there was a test given, and Cain failed the test simply because he was of the wicked one. He didn't measure up. Abel, having a divine covenant revelation, knowing that the transgression was a blood transfusion, when Satan, Lucifer, the enlightened one, the mighty, beautiful angel that Eve was alerted to and made known to, and when she wanted to have his son, she was in pastoral aid with him, and she was pregnant with the son of Lucifer, Satan. Now, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, it says that Cain, this Luciferian, his father, was Satan, the enlightened one, who now had the carnal enlightenment to formulate a covenant forever in the third dimensional plane that would deny the spirit covenant. Well, Yahweh had to act fast to get his seed into the earth, and he got that seed through Abel. Well, what did Cain do? He slew the righteous seed. Well, listen to me here in the 24th verse of our text, Matthew 13. And another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that sowed good seed in the field. Likened unto a man. Now that man was our Messiah. Remember, the Bible said that Abel was the son of God, slain from the foundation of the world? That would have made Abel and Adam, who was the son of Yahweh, that would have made them brothers. You say, well, the Bible said that Adam knew Eve. Doesn't matter if he'd have known her 1,000 times. After she was initially impregnated with two seeds, a good seed and a bad seed, one from Yahweh and one from Satan, it didn't matter how many times that Adam knew her, she was already pregnant with a bad seed and a good seed. And so then she would have not taken to Adam's seed. She only took to Adam's seed 130 years after she was turned out of the garden in the third dimension. And so then, there had to be someone worthy. The heaven was searched, the earth was searched, and beneath the earth was searched, and no one worthy to loose the seals of the birthright covenant. And so Yahweh said, what have you prepared for me? A body of flesh. And lo, I come to fulfill in the volume of the book that in the beginning was the eternal word. The eternal word was with Yah, and the word was Yah, and the word was made flesh and dwell among us, and we beheld his glory. Here is Yah, the eternal one, who was only found worthy, the only one that had the keys or the power. See, Satan had the keys of hell and death. And Yahweh was the only one to come with enough power to withstand the rigors of the temptation that Satan was putting through, and he crawled through the infiltration course of literal hell. I mean, the satans, the evil ones, the opposers of the truth and the light. Man, they were on him from the word go, just like the good seed and the bad seed has warred even in the womb before they were ever born or ever brought forth. These seeds were warring right in the literal flesh womb of a woman named Rebecca, and one of these seeds was good and the other seed was bad, just like the one good seed in Eve and one bad seed, and the bad seed came first. Therefore, Satan made claim through the law that he had exclusive rights, or his children had rights to the birthright, and that Yahweh should lay his hands on these children and bless them and let them forever stay in the kingdom of heaven. Well, Yahweh, being the master strategist and the fine chess player that he was, he just beat that move by adding a verse to the scripture and said, the elder shall serve the younger. Oh, that made it a servitude relationship. And that's why Satan said, okay, well, look, as long as you're going to bless your children, what I'll do, I'll cast a light, a false artificial light, upon their eyes. And they will be blinded from the revelation of truth. And they'll only worship you in spirit. But the truth will be hidden from them. Well, here comes the churches and the church ages of Christianity. Each age, the seven church ages is mentioned in the Bible. Only one of those church ages was found correct. All of these church ages in the past have always been wrong or been partly right. Oh, yes, they worshiped in spirit. Oh, yes, they had the general consensus of knowledge. But you see, Yahweh chose the foolish things. And by choosing the foolish things, he hid the truth in foolishness. And here it says, there came a man which sowed good seed in his field, in Israel. Now, this is talking about the Messiah. This is talking about Yahweh from the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. He sowed the good seed in the woman's womb, the field, the blood. You see, seed is nothing but blood. Now, the blood of the Father, see, the woman doesn't she doesn't contribute one drop of blood to the baby from her genes. The man, you see, woman is taken from man. She's a byproduct. So the blood that she has in her is literally coming from man. Now, if the blood is righteous and she's from the right seed, and then there's a proper hookup, then Yahweh will address that issue by putting a good spirit in the womb. That's why you should pray and fast before you have children. You say, well, you know, I saw this good-looking girl, and I took her, and I laid with her, and, you know, she was this and she was that. You better check her out real good. You better check him out real good. You see, fornication, Yahweh will not forgive fornication. Fornication is mixing the blood with unrighteous seed or unrighteous fields. Notice this, verse 25. But when men slept, you see, there has been an inducement of sleep come upon the eyes of the children of the Eternal One. Now, why? I do not know. It is beyond me why that we were given blind eyes and we became the nature of dumb sheep. I don't know. And why our enemy were given eyes to see and a wolf nature, an evil nature, a snake nature. Very crafty, very smart, very intelligent. But remember, I told you that Yahweh chose the foolish thing. Well, nobody wants to look like a fool. And so men seek after the carnal senses of wisdom and knowledge. And the wisdom of Yahweh, which is foolishness, is reserved because nobody wants to touch it. When you become a wise man for Yahweh, you're hated of the world. You're looked on as foolish and ignorant. But he that loves the world will love the Father and in him. And so then, you must choose this day who you're going to serve. If you want man's wisdom, then serve man. And you'll be glorified, and you can build big buildings, or you can do great things and have a great name. But ladies and gentlemen, in the ashes of yesteryear, men have strived to do this and sought the kingdom of the world rather than the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. But most people seek the world, and then they get their riches like the foolish rich man. After he got everything collected and got a big start, he said, now I'll just ride back and take knees, and he considered Yahweh. And the Bible said, thou fool, this day thy soul is required. And he died that evening. And take heed, lest any of you having an unbelieving heart of unbelief fail to enter in. It's a fearful thing to fall in to the hands or the truth or the wisdom or the foolishness of Yahweh as versus the wisdom of the world. Oh, yeah, you could be pastoring some big church. I could. I turned down a great big church pastorship. I turned down my chance to get my doctrine of divinity free of charge. All expenses paid. I could have gone to the largest Pentecostal assembly, seminary school in Houston, Texas in 1960, but I turned it down because I was on a pursuit of fasting and praying and seeking knowledge. And the more knowledge I got, the more foolish I became. And the more foolish I became, the more wicked I saw the world, and I saw Christianity and churchianity tied into a paganistic knot of deception. And boy, you talk about getting out of that minefield. Well, here it says, but when he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. You see, nobody's seen Satan since he sowed Cain into the world. He got his seed and he hightailed it. Then the other angels looked on the daughters of Cain and saw that they began to build cities. The sons began to do marvelous things. They became masters of the sword. They built great cities, great architects. They played well on musical instruments. They made beautiful music. And in the book of Adam and Eve, it talks about the children of Cain played the flutes and the harps so expertly that they lured the children of Adam down from the mountain, and they began to miscegenate with them and mix their blood and genes into the blood. And that's exactly what this scripture is talking about right here. Then came the enemy and sowed a discrepant seed. Why? To defile the birthright, to cloud the issues of the birthright, to hide the birthright, and to confuse the birthright. Well, today we're calling some people God's chosen when in reality they're not. And we're calling those who are God's chosen heathen and Gentile, in reality they're not. You see, the 10 tribes that are missing in the earth went somewhere, and they were called Caucasian, and they settled somewhere. But the history of time is on Yahweh's side. He said the wise will understand. That's the foolish now. But the foolish, who are the wise in the world, will not understand. And he hid it from their eyes. So here we are in a great struggle to reconnect the 10 severed cords of our DNA purpose. You see, our mind operates on a functional 12. There's 12 hours in the day, 12 in the night. There's male and female. There's opposites and paradoxes that we have to consider in reality. There's an inward kingdom hid from the outward man. And then there's an outward kingdom that is made known to the inward man. Now, the inward man is weak. He can't do more than the flesh will align. The Bible said that the spirit is willing, But the flesh man, in describing it as weak, was talking about literally that the flesh man was strong and kept the inward man in prison and wouldn't let him have his desires. If the spirit man had his desires, you fast and pray regularly. But you don't, because the flesh man has 21. He gives you 99 reasons when the Spirit moves on you to fast and seek the inward kingdom. Satan will move in and give you 99 reasons of why you shouldn't do that. And he'll win every time if you let him. And that's why that the Spirit man has to be exercised till he gets strong enough to put down the rule of the outward man. You see, you are literally your worst enemy. You want to find the enemy? Paint yourself. Go and take a good long look in the mirror. Look deep within your eyes and search for the truth there. Be honest with yourself. Do not favor yourself any more than you favor someone else, because you need to be your worst critic. And you, like I said, are your worst enemy. The outward man that you have, your carnal mind, will block you, will hinder you, will slow you, will drag you away from the divine covenant inward principles that were laid down for you from the foundation of the world to keep you from accessing the inward kingdom and the walk to eternity, where you could find peace and contentment. Remember the Bible said in the last days that people will run to and fro seeking rest and finding none? Do you remember the Bible says in the last days there will be a famine, not for bread and water, but for hearing the word of God? Are you in that category? If you are, you need to draw nigh unto the eternal one. And if you do so, the Bible says he will draw nigh to you. But see, he cannot accept any of your flesh, although it might be pretty. You might think it's something, and men might praise you and honor you. That which is highly esteemed among men in the flesh world, the carnal world, is an abomination to Yahweh. You know the tree that was in the midst of the garden? Here I read in Isaiah 14. It says, How art thou fallen down from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weakest the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne. That's his seed. You see, this is a seed war. The good shepherd is the seed sower that came into the fertile field of Adam's sons and sowed a seed. Here comes Satan into the fertile field of the sons of Adam, and he sowed the discrepant blood of Cain, his sons, into the house of Israel. In Genesis 38, I gave you where the birthright through the blood was made void to these sons that did things contrary. Remember now, Yahweh gave the birthright to the 11th son. That's why that the first sacred number in the sacred teachings of numerology is 11. Now, you know why 11 is so sacred? Well, there happens to be, when there should be, there only happen to be 11 ribs on each side of a man's rib cage. 11. Is the first master number, and the next number is 22. Well, two 11s are 22, and there's 22 letters designed in the Hebrew language to express itself in light. And if we knew more about the Hebrew and less about the Greek and the English, we would know much more about our Creator. Well, by the third step, 3 11s is 33, so the next magic number or master number is 33. So 11, 22, and 33 has been picked up by the Illuminati. We're calling these the Illuminati, the enlightened ones of the carnal mind of the earth who tend to want to rule over Yahweh's possession as master rulers. And they took the 11, 22, 33 concepts of illumination and become a small people, 3% of the earth's population, ruling over 97% of the blind sheep of the house of Israel. Well, it's not going to be, but that's the way it is. As Walter Cronkite said when he got through doing the news, that's the way it is. Well, the Bible says that they worship me in vain. They worship me to keep their tradition. They worship me in these illuminated cults. You know, churches are nothing but illuminated cults of paganism. Oh, they sing good, they play good, they have worldly sorrow, but they don't have a birthright covenant expression of joy unspeakable and full of glory with the revelation of the truth, because the Bible said you must worship him in John 4:24 in spirit and truth. Well, everybody wants spirit, but nobody don't want the truth. Everybody wants to go to heaven in the spirit. And they preach everybody into hell. They ain't very few people that profess to be Christians ever been preached into hell. I often wondered what it would be like if you got up and preached a man right into hell. Why, the people would faint. They've never heard anybody do that. All Christians that sign the church book, they're going to heaven, according to the church. But what did Yahweh say? You must have the truth to go with the Spirit. And the truth is a separator, as a cream is separated from the milk. And you've got after you get through with cream coming to the top and churning it into butter. See, it only becomes butter when you churn it. You only become a real saint when you get tribulation and persecution. For them that live godly in the eternal one Yah, they shall suffer persecution. You can believe it's a standard issue. Yahweh, he will try you, and he will turn the demons of hell loose on you, and the hounds of hell will chase you across this planet to hell and back. And I've often said in my ministry state that the road to heaven leads through hell. And ladies and gentlemen, that expression of truth is very true. If you live a life worthy of gaining eternal life, You'll pay the supreme ultimate price, because Satan knows them that have the commandments, and he went out to make war with them that had the commandments, that loved Yah and kept his commandments. Satan will make or wage or create a war in your life that you'll think that the gates of hell, the floodgates of hell, and the demons of hell, and the hounds of hell, are only after you in this world. When in reality, they're after the family of Yah. Oh yeah, you may have your day in the sunshine, but along with the sunshine will come the stormy, cloudy days. Just like Hurricane Francis is now bearing down on the coast of Florida. And the eye of the storm, it's the largest photographed storm in the history of photographing storms. This eye, remember now, Charlie just came through Florida last week and it wrecked havoc. And the eye of this storm will make the eye of Charlie's storm look like a little speck. This eye is as big as the state of Texas. Well, Yahweh talked about the waves of the sea roaring, people's hearts are failing. And you see, you're safe nowhere. And we've got the terrorists that are, and they know they could blow up your town and, you know, you could be history in a moment. You've got no safe dwelling place. You're not safe from evil anywhere. And the Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. There shall be a famine, not for bread or water. Well, I'll eat good. But for hearing the truth of the word of Yah. That's the $64 question. Do you have the truth of his word? Or are you caught up in some seem-right, paganistic way that Satan is transformed and the ministers that he's using are transformed angels of light? And the Bible said they would deceive the very elect, if possible. You see your names on the Lamb's book. You may be carried away from some of that foolishness, but when you hear the truth, I'm telling you, the sheep will come to the light, the true light, not the artificial light, not the false light, not the seen light, not the false name, not the seen light name, but the true name. You will return to the prison of the original covenant of birthright, Yah-given privileges, as a sheep that has been blind and dumb and lost and preaches the everlasting covenant principles of divine revelation where you can see the light and walk in and find rest for your soul. For many will strive to enter in and not be able. Well, my heavens, the birthright, what is it by biblical definition? It was given to the youngest son in a garden. It was not given to the discrepant seed. You see, Cain, and I've offered a challenge of $5,000 for anyone out of the lineage of Adam to prove that Cain belonged to Adam. You say, well, you know, maybe he just forgot to put him in the will because he done evil. Well, what about Abel? He done good. And he put him in the will either because he's not listed in Adam's lineage either. Those two sons were conceived in the garden by two mighty ones. One was an angelic being who was second in command, Satan, Lucifer, the bright angel that appeared to Eve and seduced her and deceived her and lay with her. Now Yahweh has got no choice but to bring his son, Abel, through. And Abel brought back for his mother's sin. See, I'll show you the difference in the revelation that Abel had as compared to Cain. Cain brought something that he grew of his own out of the earth. He was a farmer. Did you know that since Yahweh cursed the earth for Cain, that these people have quit farming? therefore yield to them. They're money brokers. They're an international usury ring. They've been run out of every country on the earth. They're vagabonds. They have no country, no true country. They got one now. They claim that it's not theirs. You're going to find out later on what the true story is when you get to the Middle East and you think that that's God's chosen country over there. It says in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10, that Yahweh will remove those people called Israel, the 10 tribes of Israel. He would remove them never to return. But the people going over there call themselves Israel. Well, is it true? No, it's not. Now then, part two, you don't want to miss part two of In Search of the Birthright. We're going to get into the mystery of how Satan tried to infuse his blood into the birthright privileges so that he could get his. You see, Yahweh's word is eternal. Once he gives you a blessing, it can never be revoked. And Satan knew that, and that's why he tried to get his sons, his blood sons, blessed. Now, other angels followed his suit in Genesis 6. Other angels came down and married into the daughters of man. These were the angels who from heaven came, fell by lust of transgression, went against Yahweh's laws that angels were not to marry. But they broke the ranks and defied his command and did so. The ones that remained loyal fought with Satan and his angels in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations, where we'll end up in the fourth part of this series message of In Search of the Birthright. Well, I've got to get off here. My time is just coming down. The old clock on the wall is saying, I've got to skedaddle out of here. Praise Yahweh. I've enjoyed being with you tonight around the world. With the Shepherd's Call, and you're listening to Pastor Buddy. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live on the fourth day of September in the year 2004 by man's calendar. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Immediately after the show is over, give me a call. You can write me if you'd like to call. Just want to write. Just write Pastor Buddy. That's all you need. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. And the zip is 37824. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, 37824. And that's in New Tazewell, Tennessee. New Tazewell, two words, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824, Pastor Buddy. Now, that's all you'll need. If you get the box wrong, they'll know me because everybody there at the post office knows me. And so you won't have any trouble getting the mail to me. Now, if you'd like to email me tonight, simply email in lowercase letters, buddy1, B-U-D-D-Y, 1, at centurytale.net. That's a numeral, not the letter. CenturyTale.net. That's buddy1 at CenturyTale.net. Now, if you like our website, PastorBuddy.com, and you can go in and find some information that we have posted there in search of the missing birthright. I got a full-length article on this very message. It's very time that's needed around the world to wake up the sheep. See, that's the mission of the last time end time prophets. Yahweh said he would begin to pour his spirit out, and his sons and daughters would begin to go into heavenly revelation. That is, we'll have, again, access and free from blindness where we can see clearly to wipe away the tears of sorrow. Because they're going to turn into laughing, and the world's going to mourn. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in those days of transition where the lost family, which is, according to Ephesians chapter 3:15, the whole family in heaven and earth is bonded in this name as a family. And the word hallelujah, right from my free track on the word hallelujah, I was not trans. laid it out of the Bible. It remained in there. And Christians all over the world sing about it. Hallelujah. Yah is the short poetic portion of the great divine covenant. Magnanimous, magnificent name of the Holy One of Jacob Israel. And that name was revealed to the saints. And here in the last days, it's been restored to a lot of people around the world, particularly here in the United States. The message is coming through loud and clear. So if you'd like to join and be part of the House of Israel through the Divine Covenant name, just write Pastor Buddy for the free track and state hallelujah. I'll send it to you, pre and postpaid. And that's all you got to do to get it. Praise Yahweh. And it's got a lot of informative information of how that they have translated the name Yah out of the Bible in favor of a Greek Latin name that had no Hebrew connection. Remember the Son said 543 come in the Father's name. 5,823 times alone where you see capitalization of L-O-R-D. It would have been Y-H-V-H. Have you ever thought about that? That the name was translated out of the Bible by the translators who thought to hide and deceive the people using a false name and causing the world to wonder after a name of a beast. And you need to write for me information on that. We just got through doing a series on WWCR 5070. I'm on there every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central, and 5 Pacific. So join us on the Shepherd's Call on live WWCR 5070 every Sunday night for the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. Well, the old clock on the wall says I've got to get out of here. I've got about 3 minutes, and we're going to say praise Yahweh to you as we go off the air tonight. May the Father bless you with the pipes of Scotland. Thank you.